Anyway, you're a professional. Hello, welcome in. Great to be here with you again. My name is Laura Topper, and of course, always on this show, the Women of Power show, we're joined by an intriguing, inspirational, and interesting super guest. And today is absolutely that with Dale Allen. Dale, welcome to the Women of Power show. It's so great that you're here with us today.
Laura, thank you. I'm really excited. Thank you.
And the reason you're excited, I know, is because your book is out today in Our Right Minds. It's actually out on for sale, and it's been published today. So we're going to talk a lot about that. And before we do that, though, Dale, I'd like to, first of all, welcome in the viewers. If you're watching now or at any point, or if you're listening to the podcast, wherever you may have found this at whatever time, Dale Allen has for 25 years shared the healing energy of the sacred feminine through her work. And in Our Right Minds, which has been widely acclaimed at universities, conferences, corporations, theatres, and expos across US, Canada, from Kauai to Dubai, the UN Nations on the Status of Women and the Parliament of World Religions. And In Our Right Minds is a film, by the way. That's it. Well, and a book now, and it's a film. So the film version has been awarded 19 independent film festivals. Wow. I've just read that for the first time. Congratulations. No wonder there needed to be a book. And it's a sweeping journey covered efficiently and clearly in a short, orderly way, illuminating the history and relevance of the goddess archetype. In Our Right Minds has been praised for being well-researched and organized. And of course, Dale, it would be, because you're the one that's created it. And you've been devoted to the divine feminine for so many years. What was your calling? Why the goddess?
It is fascinating to me, first, to be able to say that I've been carrying this message for 25 years. That's a quarter of a century. That's a very cool thing to be able to say. I'm pleased to be spinning around the sun as often as I've been able to. And I'm pleased to have been committed to this message for as long as I have been. The reason I share the message of In Our Right Minds, the reason I share the image, the energy, the healing power of the sacred feminine is because when this experience, when this image, energy, history first came across my path in my life, it was so deeply transformative. And when something like that happens, since my entire soul trajectory is to be a positive force, when something healing comes to me, how can I not share that with others? Mm-hmm. And I just knew it was important. I could feel that sense of calling, that sense of mission. And so I took action. And that was 25 years ago. And the first way that I shared it was as a musical theater production.
I'm really interested in this, of why that format, and knowing a little bit more about you, that you come from a TV production world anyway. But what is it why you like suddenly you're like center stage creating a one-woman show, which 25 years ago was a bold thing to do?
Yes, in fact, thank you. The first iteration of it was a musical theater production with a cast of 7 women of different ages, shapes, sizes, and colors. It was really important for me to have this beautiful array of the gorgeousness of the feminine in all of her forms. So I made this musical theater production, and I'll tell you why. The idea of sharing a message about the goddess was intimidating. So to be stepping out with such a message, I could have easily talked myself out of taking any action at all. But I was so moved by having experienced all this history that most of us don't know about, and recognizing that a heritage that belongs to all of us and is foundational to our well-being had not been established in my own psyche, unconscious foundational psyche, but it wasn't in anybody else's really, for the most part. So I knew I wanted to share it. Now, The reason I made it a musical production is because I was wondering how to do it, but I had a wonderful critic's, inner critic's voice. You know, that one that talks you out of everything that you're just about to do because it's not good enough. Who are you to do this? You know, why you? It's probably not a good idea. You'll get your head cut off if you step out there. You know that inner critic voice. We all have it, right? Well, mine was pretty active. And so I'm very familiar with it. I think it's a part of being human. I actually don't know anybody who doesn't have an inner critic. I just think it's part of being human. So I was sitting by myself on a very dewy, lovely morning in 1998. And I was feeling very, very relaxed, sitting by the water in a beautiful place here on the Connecticut shoreline. And in this very relaxed state, there was something about sitting there in that early morning. My feet were bare. The way I was sitting, I was hugging my knees. The water was glistening. And suddenly I felt like I was 11 years old. Here's why that's important, and here's why I'm sharing it. When I had the sense memory of being 11, I did things when I was 11 just because it was fun. Mm. I didn't ask myself, can I market this? Who am I to do this? Go to the niche market. How can I get this? I didn't have that. I was 11. I make a play because I want to make a play. And I realized, oh, Dale, harness that. And I'm telling you, viewer, because find those points in your life where you didn't have the restrictions. You know, somewhere there's a spunky girl in there. Somewhere there's one that was ready to step out. Well, she's still in there. And it's important to harness that because the world needs your gifts. And it was that experience for me that moved me to put on a musical theater production. But I stayed in that head that said, don't get all jammed up. Just make a play because it's fun. That'll support 25 years of my life, Laura.
And so you went in without this feeling or expectation, oh, it's got to be a bestseller. It's got to make millions. It's got to do this. It's got to go around the world. You did it because it was in your heart and you knew that you had to bring it out of you for other people.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Your summation is exactly what it's all about. And that applies to everybody. You do it because it's in your heart.
We're so trained to believe that we need to do things because they have to have an outcome, a financial outcome that equates the success of it. If it does, if it reaches that seeming, you know, outcome, then it's a success. And if it doesn't, it isn't. And how damaging is that for us as women, for anybody to grow up with that story and to believe it? We have to unlearn this.
Yes, it's important to unlearn it. And I'll also say, you know, for all practical purposes, at that time, I had all of my regular work going on.
Yeah.
You know, of course. So a lot of the ways the times when I was creating was in times that were, you know, whether it was on a weekend or in the middle of the night, quite frankly. And I did a lot of this creative work, which I found was energizing, not energy depleting. So I had enough energy to do all of my other work. I mean, you know, there's the practical bottom line, right, to cover. So, yeah.
And so you traveled around the world, or did then it became a movie, or did was it the movie that won awards around the world, or were you actually traveling with it?
Well, it was the play. It was a musical theater production with original songs, and there were drummers on the stage, and there was comedic bits, and that play was a resounding success. That was the first bit of feedback that I needed because I was so afraid before the play opened, I wanted to pull the plug. I was like, I'm going to go out with a goddess play. This is not a good idea. I'm going to be like the goddess lady. It's going to be awful. And I thought, well, I can't pull the plug. The costumes are made. The cast has worked really hard. The tickets are sold. It's going forward. It opened and I received my first feedback from men in their 80s. I remember this wonderful man who was a theater man, because this was in Westport, Connecticut. He had spent his entire life in theater. He was a very accomplished man. He loved the play. He loved the musical. And I also heard feedback from lots and lots of women of all ages. So the men, the women, they were like, this is great. This is a message we need, which helped me then. I mean, feedback like that does spur us on. Yes. And it helped me then to turn it into a one-woman show. I was going to keep the play going, but at that time, beyond ecstatically, joyfully, I discovered that I was pregnant. So, you know, I was so thrilled that I didn't want to do a play in New York and all that that would take, which would be a lot. I wanted to be able to focus on this miracle underway. And so I didn't want to have a little baby. And, you know, anyway, that's why I decided to put it into a one-woman show when she was little, when she was an infant, actually. But the one-woman show was far more manageable because it was just me. I could do the show. And then I'd be, you know, be back home.
And you traveled
all over. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I traveled all over the United States, up into Canada, universities, conferences, expos, corporations, churches, synagogues, all kinds of venues, beautiful theaters across the US, up into Canada. I went to Kauai, I went to Dubai, which was amazing. And I shared this message in Our Right Minds as a one-woman multimedia performance. I opened, I love saying this, I opened for Wayne Dyer. Well, that was a thrill beyond a thrill.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was the headliner, right? I mean, Wayne Dyer. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great. And I did my, like, I was the warm-up. You know, I opened for him. I did my performance piece. Afterwards, he was standing backstage to greet people who wanted to meet him and talk with him and maybe sign books and things like that. And I'm standing there, I'm awestruck. He's to my right. So I'm just staring at Wayne Dyer, who had been so gracious to me. So now I'm just kind of watching him, and I see he's, you know, dealing with the line in front of him. And I turned my head this way, and in front of me, there was a line. That blew my mind. I was like, this line's for me. So I had a chance to meet people there, but they were moved by the message. And so let me get back to the message, because it sounds like it's me. I'm just the messenger.
Someone has to bring the message forwards. And you, and what I really want to highlight is your courage, you know, because at that point, at any point, you could have said, oh, I'm giving birth, I'm not going to do it, or I'm scared, I'm not going to do it for whatever reasons, or I've got too much for responsibility, and you kept doing it. I think that is a message we all need to hear, because when we hear it from, see it from another doing it, it empowers us, it empowers me to keep going, regardless of what's, you know, how it's out picturing. So before you move on, I'm honoring you for keeping going with this, because it really has been beautiful.
It means a lot to me to have you to do a summation like that, because again, your words apply to everybody watching this right now.
Yes.
And that means the world to me, because all of us have these gifts. All of us have love in our heart, right?
Yeah.
I mean, women and men as well, beautiful souls on the planet that want to contribute to the good, to the positive, to the helpful, to the healing. You know, these beautiful gifts are given to us in very unique ways because we are unique individuals. And it really is important to get out of our own way. It might appear with my, you know, with my red cape, and, you know, you're talking about courage and, you know, that, oh gosh, she must never be afraid.
No, of course.
Yeah. Right. So just so you know, everybody.
The thing is, though, that you're courageous enough to see beyond the fear. It didn't stop you.
Right. So because in my opinion, we need to just take the fears along with us. All those fears are there to keep us safe. So they get formed in us early on in life, essentially to keep us safe. So they're actually a very good friend initially, because the idea is to, you know, keep us safe and protected. So various fears about, oh, better not say that, better not do that, because, you know, it's scary or dangerous, or, you know, This is, and listen, when you're born an infant. All you need is help from everybody. You're an entirely vulnerable creature. Naturally, you're going to start filing things in your brain that say, you know, as you get older, you know, how to stay safe, you know, but then you carry those into adulthood and it's time to say, actually, well, I need now to move out of these fears and to do my service on this planet. And every time we all do that, we do help everybody else to be more opening of their gifts. Right. So we do want to be not only, I think the more we get out of our way, it's not about us. It's really about, it's about you. It's about the planet. It's about our love. It's about sharing our love for others. It's about making it easier for the next generation of infants and babies and children all around the world to be themselves, to perhaps develop fewer fears. How about that? Right?
Yeah.
So we want to all contribute to that.
And the fears often isn't only, it's fear of rejection or fear of maybe looking stupid and that, you know, how could I do that? Having a dream, having a vision that's may feel like it's outside of our comfort zones. Outside of my comfort zone. And that's the one, isn't it? When we actually really go for it, then we know we're on the right track. Getting out of the way for that.
Yes, getting out of the way for it. And then to me, every time you up the stakes, I mean, my book has just launched today. So I have, right. I know, I feel like, oh,
I'm going to show it here while you're talking. You keep talking about it. I'm going to bring it up on the screen.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get an effect.
It's for sale today, just to get that in there.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's book launch day. Oh, thank you. Yes, it's book launch. And there it is. There it is. It's on Amazon today. The Kindle version is only a dollar. Who needs glasses? It's like $1.99, but that's pounds there. So it's a little different. It is. Oh, yeah. I love seeing that in pounds, actually. The Kindle is deeply discounted today for the launch. And then the book is there. So this is a big, big, big day for me. It's huge. Right. And I mean, I make things. I made a musical. I made a one woman show. I made a film. I make podcasts. I make things. Something about this book. There's something about a book that's very, very big, very, very satisfying. It's a big deal. Now, I do want the viewers to know that did that also activate levels of fear? Yes. And I've been doing this for 25 years. So it's just like, as I'm moving toward the book, of course, did fears come up and go, well, Dale, you know, if you do this book, I mean, who knows? And then it's out there and, you know, people could be mean. People could, you could set people off. I mean, then there's all the people who are just going to get angry that you talk about the sacredness of the family. I mean, all that stuff. Right? All that stuff. So I just want you to know, viewer, as I'm here celebrating my book, fears are a part of life.
Yes.
They just are. So but I'm so familiar with it. I'm like, yep, I know. Sure. Those are scary thoughts, but we're moving forward. We're moving forward with this. Why? Because I know that it is love. It is healing. It is needed. It is the truth. The human species, in fact, the entire planet, is made up of these energies of masculine and feminine. Creation happens because the DNA comes together of the masculine and the feminine, and life goes on and on and on and changes forms. This is creation itself. The feminine side of humanity has just been pushed down, held down, disrespected, and dishonored for far too long. And externally, that means also the subjugation of women and girls. But it's really, my message is about lifting up the feminine in all of us. I'm going to tell you right now that the first feminine part that I needed to lift up was in myself. That was my big transformative experience.
I was going to ask you that, Dale. I was going to ask you how, at what point did the work change? I mean, you would create it, you were bringing it through. At what point was it like, okay, now it's changing me?
Oh, well, see, all my life I was a very spiritual person, very, very spiritual. I mean, really, since my earliest memories, and they go very far back. So a very spiritual person. I was raised in the Catholic faith, which has many, many treasures for me, beautiful treasures. And I think about the gorgeous churches that I was raised in and all the beautiful images and statues and, you know, I went to Catholic school and there was a lot of treasure in it. And I still have a deep and abiding relationship with Christ, Christ consciousness, that beautiful Christ consciousness, that beautiful message of love, kindness, empathy, caring. That still resonates with me. And I'm a big fan of people honoring and living whatever religion they were born into. It connects you to your ancestors. It connects you to something incredibly powerful. It's a, you know, your pathway to that thing that we call God, goddess, creator. So I honor all faiths and practices. What happened with me is that in this point in my life, I was on a particular pathway. That pathway shifted, and my work and my sense of soul and mission have always been one and the same. They've never been separate. It's not like the work category and the sacred soul category. They've always gone together on some level. But my pathway changed. It got derailed. And this was a painful change at that point in my life. And it left me in a void, empty spot. Very important times in life. When you hit a void, because things have fallen down around you, there's been a loss, there's been an ending, you don't know what the path is. These happen to all of us, some on a huge magnitude with details that are startling, some where it's more subtle. But what is the same for all of us is things have ended in the way you knew them, and you don't know, you just don't know. Those void moments, don't fill them up quickly with something familiar, because it's too painful to be in the void. I was in such a void. And luckily at that point, I had the wisdom to stay in the void. I could have filled it in like that with something else that would have caught all my attention. But I stayed in that void. And that's when I started to hear this feminine voice. And it was new to me. So my inner, you know, the voice, the way that connected me to my soul, my, you know, the divine, all of that, it was more female. It was coming up from inside. That was different. I started hearing the word goddess. I didn't like it. That was important. I thought, I know this thing, God, is neither male nor female. So it's a spiritual thing. It's both. It's all. It's neither. It's everything. It's all of it. But why, when I hear the word goddess, why do I really not like it? All of a sudden, I'm like, why do we need this gender thing? I didn't question so much why we used masculine pronouns for the divine. I was familiar with those. But once I started using female pronouns for the divine, it was like, oh, this is uncomfortable. This is weird. And that's why I decided to go headlong into it. And that's where, with all the studying I did, I realized how much was really missing in our knowledge base and how much these masculine pronouns do have a deep impact on us as women and men, as all people, however we identify. The female needs to be lifted up. Well, what is the pinnacle of all things? The creator. That's what we hold with the most love and respect, the source of all life. It's that feminine face of that when we infuse that, it is so healing on every level in our bodies and our psyches, everything. So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And it was so transformative for me. I realized I needed to lift up the feminine in myself, even in my way of being in the world. I was very good at the more, quote, what we ascribe to being masculine and what we ascribe to. It was like those aspects of myself were well in order and well operating, but I didn't have enough ways to language and to be in and to love and to respect the whole feminine heritage going way back. Now I'm pointing to statues from the Paleolithic and Neolithic era, right? So just to restore that in myself was very powerful.
And it's really interesting as you're sharing, because what I'm feeling into is we're language the feminine in such a way that, because we've seemingly emancipated ourselves from a few things over the years, in, you know, with the pill and the burning the bra and feminism, you know, and women taking more of a role in the corporate world and standing up for equity, and it almost feels as if, well, then if we're feminine, it's kind of we're being subservient again, and we're kind of stepping back into that role of being the one that is, you know, is not equal or doesn't have a voice. And isn't it interesting how we're redefining what it means to be, what the feminine means? Because the feminine doesn't mean anymore the one at home making the dinner.
I am so glad that you brought that up, right? Because they talk about when a fish can't really have a perspective of what it's like to be in the water because it's in the water. That's all it knows. You know, we've been in this gender hierarchy, which happens to be patriarchy. We've all been in it. This goes for men and anybody, no matter how they identify, it goes for all of us. We've been in this gender hierarchy, patriarchy for so long that we really don't know how deeply impacted we are by it. So we come to define things as male, female, gender roles that are very, very, very limited. Yeah. When we go back to our blueprint, our history, which is more than 90% of our history, there is no gender hierarchy.
Right.
Our blueprint is masculine and feminine, different, but both very, equally important, equally powerful, different, but both part of the whole. Our blueprint is to have both energies working through us evenly and fully and beautifully. We can't get there until we really infuse this feminine part because it's been so lost to us.
Mm.
You know, listen, feminine is both incredibly nurturing. You know, it's the feminine gatherer nurturers is the kind of the template, but the feminine is also the one who has very fierce boundaries, very fierce boundaries about how we're going to proceed to protect the next generations of children. And the sacred masculine, when it's in balance, always protects and honors and surrounds and keeps those beautiful boundaries that the feminine has established for the good of all of the tribe, shall we say?
Yes.
So that's the way it's supposed to work. We're supposed to be in balance with both. And so because we've been in this gender hierarchy for so long, you know, feminine, female has always been so secondary.
Yes.
And none of us should be secondary.
And passive.
Yes. And that's not it. No. That's the aberration out of gender hierarchy.
Define just for a moment. I'd really be interested. Define your idea of the qualities of feminine and the qualities of sacred feminine, sacred masculine.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that much like, we use the word God, we're so familiar with it. Goddess, the creator, goes through you. You know, Laura, you are the perfect manifestation of the thing we call God. Yes. And you are a very unique expression of the thing that we call God, God, the mother, goddess. So it's all as unique and beautiful as every single one of us. We are all a very unique blend and we are all the perfect image and likeness of the divine. When we look at things that we more typically describe to masculine and feminine, we go back to our blueprint, which is the hunter-gatherer model, which again comprises more than 90% of our history. We only count our history with the history that started with the written word. Like we really don't look at what came before.
Yeah.
You know, we look at in the beginning was the word. And it's a very short part of our history. And unfortunately, with the written word, which is a magnificent technology, so important, it also caused an imbalance, more of a reliance on the left hemisphere of the brain. And then also this gender hierarchy came out of the written word and the way we started using our brains. But before that, you know, when we look around and we see in nature also, you know, what is the feminine and the masculine? So the most simple model is masculine hunter-killer, feminine gatherer-nurturer. Well, that's just the easiest way to say that for the tribe to thrive, you need some of the people, generally people born men, to go out and hunt. And that is more of like a left brain skill. You've got to focus on something, a target that's moving. That's a very left brain thing. And you've got to get that. You've got to succeed in the hunt and bring that meat home, which is iron rich, which has got to go to the females who are going to need the iron if they're menstruating, if they're pregnant. So this beautiful thing, and now the women are gathering and nurturing, which is more of a right hemisphere kind of a thing. You got to find all the berries, which is very right brain. You're seeing the whole picture. You're seeing everything, and you're gathering and you're nurturing. But both sexes, individuals, can do both jobs.
Yeah.
But that's a more simplified way of saying that the human species is a gatherer, nurturer, and a, you know, hunter killer. Not that we all have to, you know, we can certainly be vegetarians, but, you know, I'm just saying that it's that focus. It's two sets of skills, left brain, right brain, male, female. We are all a blend of both. Both sides of our brains are working on all tasks at all times, all of us, but we all are more left brain dominant, and we all are far more versed in the attributes of the masculine that we have more respect for than the attributes of the right hemisphere of the brain, which we all have, and the feminine side of ourselves, which we all have. The feminine side has to be lifted, no matter who you are. You could be a commander of many, many forces in a man's body that's gigantic, and that female side has to come up. And you could be any one of us women, and that female side has to come up to bring us back to balance.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. It's powerful. And I'm sure there is a lot more of this in your book. I'm sure this is, you know, like a layer of it, and there's more of, well, maybe there isn't, but I'm hoping that in your book, there is more, and how we can actually bring, how we can harmonize. That's the word that's coming through for me, how we can harmonize the essence of the divine feminine and masculine and feel whole. Because otherwise we're not feeling that wholeness that we are. And that's when it shows up in relationships, finances, work. It reflects in our lives as being, there's disharmony in our lives because we can't get to that place of accepting ourselves fully for who we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And very well said. There is that harmony that is so, so needed. And I know that one of the things with the book is the restoration of what is this whole feminine thing all about? And what is the history that we're not taught? And why is it important to know about this history? Why is it so restorative and so very, very healing? So yes, it's the harmony of the masculine and the feminine in all of us that does make us whole, because the degradation of the female is just as damaging to a man. You know, that one of the first psychic wounds, you know, all human beings are born, you know, they're born of a female body. I know we have some examples now where persons will identify, I think it's a difficult area actually, but
yeah,
birthing happens. The birthing that comes through and all around us in nature, you know, the female births. So barring any problems or issues of, you know, problems, issues or abuse, any aberration, barring that, a boy is nurtured by, you know, very much by his mother and hopefully by his father. And she is everything, right? I mean, she's talk about a goddess or a queen. That's what she is, you know, when things are going right in a family and all that beautiful nurturing is happening, all that love. At some point as he grows, at some point he starts to look around and he goes, oh, wait a minute. The girls are less than, the women are less than. Eventually he becomes aware of that. That is a huge psychic wound. Huge psychic wound, because his queen, the queen, is being degraded. And that wound is so deep and so awful that my point being that the lifting up of the feminine is just as important for women as it is for men. We all have to lift up this part of ourselves, and we need to do it soon, because this out of balance state we're in is not serving humanity, it's not serving our planet. We've got to change our trajectory. We've got to be back more in tune with one another, more empathetic. Right brain, those are attributes of the right brain. way of attending to the world. Those are attributes of what we classically call feminine. And we need it. We all need it.
And on a collective, we are wanting, I am, to keep it in the eye, wanting peace on this planet right now. And peace begins with empathy, with compassion, with acknowledgement, with non-judgment, without war. And war is led by many men and many men. I mean, there have been many women who have gone to war, and there have been many women leaders who have led wars over the years in a masculine way. Of course, they're tapping into their masculine doing that. So how come, do you believe that if we were in this amazing harmonized kind of state of masculine, feminine, balance, equity within, war would be a thing that literally dissolves?
When we look at what we know of Paleolithic and Neolithic history, which is our shared history, our foremothers and forefathers, we see an honoring of the masculine and the feminine. We see a true honoring of the feminine because the creator itself, the energy behind all things, is understood to be female, who loves all of her creation, including all the men, of course. So there's no gender hierarchy. Now, we also have indigenous cultures around the world right now that still threat us back to that model. They are egalitarian. Conflicts arise among chimpanzees, ducks. Trees have to compete with one another for nutrients, and they certainly arise between people. But our blueprint and our model is to solve it in a way that is without war. War requires some kind of ideological abstract idea to conduct. People were able to, one way or another, there might even be skirmishes over, you know, resources, but just going way back, we don't have organized war for a concept. You know, that's an important part of it. When we started thinking about what happened, when we look at what happened in our history, and wars could be conducted because my religion was right, your religion was wrong. Because my ideology is right, yours is wrong. Fighting for an abstract idea is a very left brain.
Yes.
It's a conceptual idea. When we are so far in our left brain, removed from deep relation to the other, which is the right brain, we can go so far as to kill for an abstract idea. This is a lot to get into right now, and I'm only scratching the surface in a way that we could use seven more shows on just this alone.
And yet it's very important because we can talk about us and individually, and it's great to kind of harmonize the feminine, the masculine, and our lives will be better. And life, you know, the whole of life, the collective, what's happening in the world when we turn on the news, watch social media, hear horrific stories of what's happening. How wouldn't it be great with your book, with your work, and other women that are doing the work that we're all doing to you know, really populate this harmony that could really have an extreme change.
An extreme
change, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, right across in our own craniums, we all have a right hemisphere of the brain. The right hemisphere of the brain is the one that's in deep relation to the other. That's where the empathy is. I can feel you. I can feel your feelings. I have a sense. I experience you with that right hemispheric way of attending to the world. So that empathetic relation to others is something we're supposed to always have underway and in action, always supposed to be feeling that. We have gotten kind of lost in a left hemispheric approach. In the left hemisphere, everything is representational. It's a representational world of our own making. Now, if groups of people, if individuals become nothing but a concept in our left hemisphere, there is no feeling, is there? There's no empathy. No. So we are born with our own salvation, if you will. The wisdom is in the right hemisphere of the brain. And the way it's supposed to work is we're always supposed to return as we go through life and we experience things, we're always supposed to return to that beautiful overview, that beautiful wise way of seeing things, which is very right hemispheric, which is very relational, which is very much in connection with the other. So yes, is it possible? Yes. Have we seen it on our planet in historically? Yes. Yes. We are designed to be in balance. We are not, you know, we don't have to be persons who are creating war, and it's not the only history that we have.
Yes. And we can create it again, create our history, create the new right now in this moment.
Yes.
I'm very excited by your book. Are you? Is this inspired you to kind of go back with your one woman show?
Well, the beauty of it is that it's all, you know, it's all a progression, right? So the musical theater production and then the one woman show, which was fun because I would pack up my suitcase and I would take my rain stick through security and they'd be like, what is this thing? The rain stick was huge. And I would take it through security and I can't tell you the times when someone in security would take it, I would say, now just move the rain stick. You see, it makes the sound of a rainforest. And then the other security guards would come around and be like, oh, wow. And they'd let me go through. It was finally, near the last show that I did live, I thought, you know what? This is going to be the last time I go through security and they don't take away my rain stick. And I never took the big one again. I started taking a little one that I could stick in my suitcase, but it's been years I was able to do it. It was so fun. But I would go to these one woman shows and they were very, very powerful. There is something incredibly powerful about being live because I'm channeling energy to those people in that room at that time. I would always center myself and ask for guidance. And, you know, everybody was reached by that live energy. But, you know, when the pandemic happened and it was I was invited back to the UN Commission on the Status of Women, which I had performed for live in New York twice. I was invited back by the vice chairman of the parliament because he loved the message so much. He said, you have to come back next year. But online, I didn't want to, it was not going to be the right place to perform the whole thing. So that's why and when I turned it into a film. But I knew also that if it was in film format, a digital file, a film, can go out across the globe. I mean, that film is available.
It'll be everywhere.
Everywhere. And people can very easily watch the film. It's at inourrightminds.net. It's a 45-minute film and it's powerful.
Let me get that up.
So thank you. So there's that. And that's that won 19 Independent Film Festival Awards. It's a very, very strong piece. And I feel very strongly about it because once again, I know the healing effects that it has. So that's at inourrightminds.net. And then the book. Now the book is really exciting to me because it gets the message out. It gets the message where it's needed. Oh, thank you so much for that. And so I'm seeing and feeling, I know that the book has already hit a ranking of, I think it's called number one new release right now on Amazon for Goddess Spirituality. So that's,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's already happening.
Congratulations.
Thank
There's
you.
The book again. You Thank can buy you. Your book, by the way. Yeah.
So very and much. Thank
number
you.
Number one for goddess in the goddess category.
And the other thing that I will say about this book is similar to the film is a short. It's 45 minutes. It'll probably have a 1 hour version. But again, it's not a long film, is it? And this book is not a long book either. This book is an easy read. It compacts so much into one clear, clean story that takes you through. So that when you start at the beginning and go all the way through this book, which is not laborious to read, and it's filled with some beautiful art. Some of these artists have been with me since the One Woman Multimedia Show. They've been with me for 21 years. It's incredible, 22 years. This book takes you through such a journey in a fairly short read. So I've done the research because I love research. I've done the research, distilled it, synthesized it, and put it out there now in a form that's easily accessible. And even women who have been studying sacred feminine, you know, goddess, for many, many years, I have told me, and this is on many occasions, I saw your film, you know, now read your book And I'm learning things I simply didn't know. And they will come away and say, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. It's a lot of good information in a way that is accessible. You know, it's funny because I'm also a corporate spokesperson for many, many people. Why? Because the physicists who make healing modalities to treat cancer aren't necessarily the best public speakers or teachers. So I take all of that heavy information, all of the details about the physics behind these medical, you know, treatments and equipment, and distill it in a way that's the message is easy to understand. So that's part of the work that I do.
Yes. Well, you, that's why the book's flowed through in the way that it has, because you know how to, well, you're synthesizing it and you're working with it and you've synthesized it and you've embodied it in you with all of these years of actually putting it out there as a one woman and as a you've been doing it, acting the parts. I mean, the movie I love. When you sent it to me, I was just like transfixed there watching you in all of these. I mean, you really get into character. It's amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing. It's like, oh my gosh, it's like you're an actor, you're an actress as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I utilize all of the things that are joyful to me and come naturally to me. And every single one of us has many, many unique gifts and ways that we have to share what we know we're passionate about and what we know will be helpful to others. This happens to be my skill sets. So, you know, writing, performing, writing songs, you know, sharing, talking, synthesizing. Okay, that's what I do. It's a joy to do it because it allows me to share something that I know is good and healing. It's really the bottom line. It's good and it's healing and it's so positive for people to just take the time to have a look at what is the agreed upon parameters of our cultures around the world in these gender hierarchical structures. It's impacting all of us.
Yes.
Let's take a look. Let's open a door. Let's open a door. And then you see this whole other way of being in the world and in yourself.
Especially as we're moving into a time now where gender identity is a topic and people have a very, people have points of view about it. And so this is a part of that. Because this brings our history in. It's like, this is the history of it. Now take it from there, from this point of view. We need to know our history. We need to understand how we have evolved or been held back in our evolution throughout hundreds and thousands of years. We need to know who we really are, don't we? It's our birthright.
It is our birthright. It most certainly is.
You know, I was really surprised when Vicky Garlock, because you're a writer in the Divine CEO magazine, and you share bi-monthly with Vicky, Dr. Vicky, who writes about women from scripture, and then you write about the goddess every other month. It's a beautiful column that you both share and have. And when she was on the Women of Power show last year, she was telling me about, I didn't even realize that in America at this moment, children are not taught about world religions. And that really shocked me, because in the UK, we're all, you know, children young children are taught about different religions and understanding the different aspects of different religions. And she was explaining and sharing about how, because of that, there is a lot of bullying. There's more bullying. There's less tolerance. And that's what people grow up with in their psyche. They don't understand how people operate within their own faiths. And this is a part of that, isn't it? If we don't understand what the feminine really means, if it's not taught in schools, then it becomes forgotten.
I think that that she brings up a very, very good point. Understanding other people. And certainly when you understand a person's faith and their spiritual practice, that cuts really to the core of who a person is. And as I said before, I honor everybody's faith in spiritual practice. I'm not, you know, promoting a particular spiritual practice, and I don't practice, say, for example, Wicca, or it's not my thing, but I have respect for everybody's pathway, including, you know, Wicca, but all the world's religions. In fact, just side note, I was at the Parliament of the World's Religions in Chicago. Yes. And I did a series of interviews with women from every bit, all kinds of backgrounds, yes, all the spiritual backgrounds. And I interviewed 71 women. And the result of that, and when you watch these interviews, what you see and hear is love. You, yes, don't hear dogma. You don't hear, I'm right, you're wrong. You hear all the love. And this faith and spiritual practice that connects us to our ancestors, beautiful. Yeah. The, yes, faith and spiritual practice that makes us want to make this world a better place for the world's children. And to a woman, they didn't just say the children in my faith or my own kids. They said the world all over. All these women did. Yeah. So I honor everybody's faith and spiritual practice. And here in the United States, in order to learn about other faiths and religions, you might, if you could look carefully, find programs like I did for my daughter. It would happen to be at a Universalist Unitarian church where I sent her, particularly in the fifth grade, that one year, so she could join other students as they went around to all the different, you know, they went to a Buddhist temple, they went to a synagogue, they went to a Baptist church, they went to a, you know, they went to all these different faiths. And a Hindu, you know, temple, they went all over, mosque. So they could experience, yes, all these beautiful, wow, different religious practices. So, you know, yes, I have to agree. It's so important to learn about one another. You know, I love the way my mother says, daughter of Polish immigrants, she said that in her neighborhood.
Oh, same here, my grandmother.
Yeah. So she loved it when they would make the, so the neighbors were making the latkes and they were making the potato pancakes. And it was, well, how do you make yours? And how do I make mine? And, you know, everybody's sharing. Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And I know for me, you know, my family and my family, as we traditionally define family, as well as my family of the heart, is made up of beautiful, you know, diversity. Mm. And I'm really grateful for that. Yeah. Because it's all.
And how do they feel about you and what you're doing and the work you're bringing through in your book? Because I'm sure it's moving them on some level, even if they don't realize it or know it consciously.
Well, I feel grateful that my mother was and is, she was always very progressive. So even being raised Catholic, was very open-minded to the world. She's a beautiful Aquarian. My mother's lovely. So I always had that. And I used to bring her with me on my one woman show. She was my tech assistant. Now that was very healing for many audiences because they, yes, saw me presenting and performing with great respect to my mom, who was there running the multimedia show. And, you know, that relationship with her, because not everybody has that. It was a healing kind of a thing. So my family and my family of the heart, yes, are supportive people. So I am grateful for that. And they're all unique individuals and even have differing beliefs and so forth, but there's love. Love prevails.
Dale, thank you so much for being here today on the Women of Power show. I'm so excited for you and so grateful for the work you're doing. And I'm really excited that your book is number one in the Goddess. It's a day. It's been out a day. It's like, whoa, you're rocking it. Wow.
I am so excited.
And, oh my gosh.
Yes. And I so appreciate you having me on this show. Laura, I always love
it. We had to do it today.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
All I can think of is like, okay, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you before we go to go on the big screen and share, you know, to viewers on your idea of the importance of really going for it with your dream and your vision. Because from that one time in 1998 that you said at the beginning of the show when you were sitting there and the water, you probably could never even have imagined that you'd be writing a book about it and it would be number one bestseller on the Goddess theme category in Amazon within a day.
Yes, it's the number
brilliant.
One. That's what was sent to me. It's the number one new release is what it is. I think I have the wording right. But, you know, I just really, again, If anything you take away from hearing my story here, for me personally, I have found that the sacred feminine, which as you learned from my speaking about it, is something that runs through all of us. It's not a religion for me. In fact, I speak in the wording of the archetypes because it's a part of all of us and needs to be lifted up. It's the feminine side of humanity. This is what I'm passionate about. And I am grateful that many years ago, because I had a transformative experience, I was able to get out of my own way. I was able to take the fears and the critical voice that are a part of the human experience and just say, look, I know that these, you know, critical voices and fears are here to keep me safe, but I'm here to serve and I'm here to give. And I have this love I want to give and this message I want to share. So as much as these fears would have wanted to hold me back, I just stepped forward. And I encourage you to do the same. Our world will be a better place if you also share your gifts. You know, there are ways you can do it just right here, right now. There's a saying that I've always loved, bloom where you are planted, begin where you are, take small steps. Remember also that the micro is the macro. You know, that it's all relative, that wherever it is that you are creating, you're bringing creativity forth. Wherever it is that you're healing, then that healing is coming forth in your own home, in your own family, in your neighborhood, in your community, in the people that you touch, at work. Every single thing then goes out in concentric waves. You know, you might be someone with a far-reaching audience like Oprah Winfrey, who's given her love in this big way. And there are many, many examples, very current examples. And that's beautiful. But the love that you give to a child, to a pet in your own home, to an aging person, someone in your neighborhood is just as important and just as valuable. So I would say, remember that as you hear this story from the gal in the red dress today, I'm always getting out of my fears, out of the way of my fears. Always. It's a part of being human. Just kind of take them along with you and say, yeah, I know it's scary, but come on, we're going to go together and it'll be all right. And every time you step forward, the fears get a little less, or at least your ability to deal with them is kind of right there. So I encourage you, please, you're on a wonderful show today. Let Laura continue to inspire you. Read The Divine CEO. Pick up on all of the resources that she has to offer you. And constantly nourish yourself with this good input, because you count, you matter, and we want to hear from you. So that's my message.
Dale, thank you so much for being here, for being who you are, and for sharing today on the Women of Power show, and for sharing about your book. I'm very, very excited for you. I really am. Truly, I'm not just saying that word excited because everyone uses that word. It's like, I did make a vow to myself this year that I was never going to use the word excited again because everyone uses it. I want to find a new word.
Well, I'm really excited.
Really excited. And I'm looking forward to you coming back on the show and sharing again and kind of like the evolution of your book and what's coming forward from the new, because you're a creative and I'm inspired by you.
Thank you, Laura. And I'm inspired by you. Thank you very, very much. Until next time.
Until next time. Thank you, viewers, for being here. And yes, as Dale said, tap into lauratopper.com and you will receive Divine CEO, the magazine. It's free. It's every month. It's packed with amazing wisdom writers who are sharing from their point of view on all things divine feminine, leadership, consciousness, spirituality, and life.
Yes. Good stuff. And I'll see you there. Okay. Thank you.